Well, greetings, Lenten pilgrims. It's Pastor Bob coming to you on this Ash Wednesday 2021, and it's the beginning of our Lenten Daily Devotion series for this year. And we've got an exciting plan for you for this series, and I'm anxious to get started. I'll let you know that today's might be a little extended in time because there's a few things I want to explain and set the context for. But I also want to let you know about tonight, because tonight at 7 p.m. on Zoom, and we sent out a link yesterday and we'll send it out again today. Tonight at 7, we'll have a very special, about a 30-minute Ash Wednesday service to help you indeed reach out and take Jesus' hand for this Lenten journey we're all embarking on together. So let's get started. We've got the monks here. We've got the pleasant, calm, and peaceful chants of the monks for Lent. We've got the apple harvest candle, and we've got a little cozy chamomile. Oh, that's good. Cozy chamomile tea. So the devotion we're going to be using is called Go to Jerusalem by Mary Alice Mulligan. Mary Alice Mulligan has been a seminary professor, a pastor, very active in the Disciples of Christ, actually. And right now, I think she's interim pastor for a Disciples church in Florida. But she also is a part of the PhD program at the Christian Theological Seminary. That's a disciple seminary in Indianapolis. So this is where the devotion comes from. And as it such it is, a Go to Jerusalem devotional, I want to start with a little meditation that puts us in the right mindset for this whole 40-day journey. And she writes this in her introduction to her readers. So I'm going to share it with all of us so that we're in that same kind of mental and spiritual mindset and heart set to embark on this journey. She talks about a man, a Dominican friar, who told her this, how he handles the beginning of Lent. He says he has a moment as Lent approaches, when he can sense Jesus extending his hand and saying, "Michael, let's go to Jerusalem." So you fill in your name there. Fill in your name. Let's go to Jerusalem. That's Jesus asking you to go. For some years, Michael put his hand in Jesus' hand more slowly than other years. After all, remember, what's waiting in Jerusalem is the cross. But he always finally did it, one way or another, because it was Jesus inviting him. And now, as we begin this devotional series, indeed, it's Jesus again. And he, right now, is extending his hand to you. And he's saying to you, "Beloved disciple, let's go to Jerusalem." So that begins today. And day by day, as we move through Lent, we'll travel on the journey with Jesus toward Jerusalem. There'll be a Sunday gospel reading each Sunday. There'll be a theme for each week that's part of this 40-day journey. But for now, all you have to imagine is this: yourself placing your hand in the hand of Jesus for this year's Lenten journey to Jerusalem. All right, so let's begin our Ash Wednesday daily devotional with the question, for this week, what does it mean to go with Jesus? And on this first day of Lent, we begin with a scripture reading from Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. By the way, that reminds me of some other housekeeping notes. It'll always be a good idea for you to have a notebook or a journal or a pad that you can use throughout this Lenten period to take notes. There's a kind of an interactive part of the devotion at the end each day with some prompts for you to think about and write about. And there's also going to be a scripture reading each day, so it's good to have your Bible with you. I'm going to be reading from our New Living Translation Bible that we've used for our other Bible-based devotional series. And I go to Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. Let us hear the words of the gospel. As the time drew near for his return to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead to a Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival, but they were turned away. The people of the village refused to have anything to do with Jesus because he had resolved to go to Jerusalem. When James and John heard about it, they said to Jesus, "Lord, should we order down fire from heaven to burn them up?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. So they went on to another village. And as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you no matter where you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests. But I, the Son of Man, have no home of my own, not even a place to lay my head." He said then to another person, "Come, be my disciple. Come, be my disciple." The man agreed, but he said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." And Jesus replied, "Let those who are spiritually dead care for their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach the coming of the kingdom of God." Another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family." But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." There is one little sentence. This is the devotion now from Mary Alice Mulligan. There is one little sentence less than halfway into the Gospel of Luke. Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem. Today, we might say he made up his mind to go to Jerusalem. It reveals an unyielding determination. So, if our hand stays in his hand, we too will end up in Jerusalem. And each of us has reasons for delaying taking that hand. It sounds a little odd to imagine our hand in the hand of someone who lived 2,000 years ago. And besides, we expect this Lent to be same old, same old. Other daily obligations demand our attention. A devotional is a good discipline, but most of us don't really expect Lent to be life-changing. However, the truth is, if we decide to get serious about taking a Lenten journey, we should expect to end up somewhere else. Since we are not boarding a plane for Palestine, our journey will be spiritual. Our time in Bible reading and prayer during Lent might actually take us someplace new in our faith. Now, things to think about and make notes about. Can you think about some religious change you have gone through? Maybe it's a full-blown conversion, or at some point in your life, a renewed commitment to attend church. Or how about when you let God help you love your in-laws? I didn't have that problem. Or how about when you became a tither? Those were changes that God brought to you. Well, if that can happen, then consider, since God guided you through changes before, that you can grow and mature and change in some way again, if you want to. After you've written down some of your thoughts about a change and the role God had in that, you might reflect over those notes and carry them in your heart this week. Because indeed, you've changed before, and you can change again. Each devotion will end with a prayer, so let us pray. Inviting companion, I have no idea where this journey may take us, but I will try to trust that once I put my hand in yours, you will never let me go. Lead me where you will. Amen. And then every day, as a final surprise, we'll have a poem or a meditation. Our focused poet is the man they call Rumi. Rumi comes from the 13th century, by the way. He was known as Celaluddin Balkhi, born in September of the year 1207 in what is now Afghanistan, but then was the Persian Empire. Rumi was not known by that name until after his family, fleeing the threat of the invading Mongol armies, emigrated. They went to Konya, Turkey, between 1215 and 1220. Rumi's father was a theologian, a jurist, and a mystic. And after he passed, Rumi was instructed in his father's secret inner life by a former student of his father. And as at his father's death, Rumi took over the position of sheikh in the Dervish learning community in Konya. We know them as the whirling dervishes, the spinning, mystical, spiritual Sufis. His life seemed to have been fairly normal. He was a teacher, he meditated, he helped the poor, until in the fall of 1244, he met a stranger who put a question to him. That stranger was the wandering dervish known as Shams of Tabriz, who had been traveling throughout the Middle East searching and praying for someone who could, quote, endure my company. And that began a relationship that led to the Rumi we know of today, the mystic Sufi poet and writer of wonderful meditations. Today we're going to start with one of his most well-known poems, and that's saying that to a specialized group of people who have even read Rumi. So if you're new to Rumi, this is a poem some of us may know, and indeed, it'll get us all started on the same page. It's called The Guest House. The Guest House by Rumi. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. The Guest House by Rumi. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. Well, amen. Well, we went a little long today, but that concludes our first Lenten daily devotion. And it's so good to get started. I'm looking so much forward to this. And really, I think what Mary Alice Mulligan wrote, and we shared at the beginning, that if we are willing to take that hand of Jesus and hold on through it all, we will indeed be changed. We'll be converted. We will be transformed on Easter Day. God bless to everyone. And don't forget our Ash Wednesday service tonight at 7. Amen.